Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is May 12th? Yeah.
I think right? so.
11.
Yeah. Yes.
12.
May 12th. It's 12.
May 12th. Yeah, May 12th. Happy spring, everybody. Well, it ain't officially spring, but Memorial Day is here, which means tonight is you better get your
it's
Christmas
fall.
Tree. Get your Christmas tree.
It's now summer. My heat is on. It's cold as shit. I'm very disappointed in May.
Yes, it ain't really been no, like, you know, usually in May, you'll get like a couple of days that'll cut through, but we ain't getting no cut
through. But this is why I say the things I do about how the seasons move here, because we're not going to have like hot days until July, right?
Bullshit,
niggas go back to school in August. Like, it's a wrap.
Yeah, summer's legit like a smooth 5 weeks now.
Yeah, yeah.
Niggas get like a legit 5 weeks of summer.
We really be having white summers. It's really long. It's not.
It's not. We just do so much shit in that 5 week period.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
It's really like 5 weeks.
Cramming, right. Mad shit into a month and a half. 6 cookouts.
Right.
Vacation.
You get to park every 5 months.
Niggas Saturdays is done.
Done.
Going down south.
Like, dude, nigga ain't got south. No Saturdays open.
We're going down south, you know, washing the car. And summer's
Everything.
Over, nigga.
Listen, these summer camp prices, though, they could reflect this 5 or 6 week time period.
I remember that.
Because the price of the brick is not going down.
It's going up, right?
It's going up.
Yeah.
I remember the sleepaway joints. Shit was not sweet. I sent Julian to a couple. One, I sent him to like a YMCA one. That was a little hardcore. He came back pretty dirty from that one. Pretty raggedy. He got off that bus. You know what I'm saying? But then I sent it to another joint piece to my man Max Nichols, who actually raped Roy, you would know Rachel Nichols,
or
her husband.
Okay.
We used to work together at Jive. Actually, his father's Mike Nichols and his stepmom.
Mike Nichols Mike. Really well, actually. Mike Nichols went to Howard with my mom, and I'm always
No. It's a white man.
Oh, it's a white man.
Mike Nichols, who did The Graduate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the big time director. And his stepmom's Diane Sawyer.
Okay.
But actually, his sleepaway camp he went to as a kid, he put me on. That one was nice. Like, Julian had to fly up there, and it was real nice.
I had to fly up there? What kind of shit y'all was on?
It was nice. It was nice, yeah. It was nice.
Okay. I'm just trying to get Ivy out of here.
I'm about to say.
Like, 3 days a week till 2 o'clock, something.
Yeah, my dad sent me to the joint. When I was in Tuskegee, it was a joint where you had the little juice, and it had the foil top that you pulled back.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Them, like that, them joints, they would basically take us to the pool. And I don't even remember what activities they had other than taking us to the pool.
Tiring your ass out.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
But that's all you need when you ate.
That's really all.
Yeah, exactly. You don't remember. It don't make sense.
You be smelling like outside by like 10:30.
Word.
Like 10:30. Nigga, you frousy.
Yeah.
Grass stains on your shit. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Sneakers untied.
Yeah, you're sticky. Yeah. Shoelaces dirty as fuck.
If you see pictures of me in September from like up until like my sophomore year of high school, you would not. I'm so dark. You would not recognize me. Like, that's how much.
There's a picture of you that you post. It absolutely smells like outside. It's you and like 5 or 6 cousins.
Oh yeah, that was in Tuskegee.
Like the ponytails is frayed. Oh nigga, that picture smells like outside.
And we were outside down south, so we was in dirt, grass, all that.
We mentioned a friend to the show, Country Cousins. Father getting his Mr. Joe getting his doctorate last week, but yep. I just wanted to mention this week the podcast The Read. I guess
they
saw it online and they gave him like a shouted him out and talked about him and talked about how, you know, he had overcome, you know, an illness. Like, they did like a little bit of time on Mr. Joe.
Yeah, I think they read, I think they were reading from Howard's write-up on him.
Okay, yeah, and they Black, thought, yeah, but it was nice.
And Black Enterprise posted
because
about
of them, we can.
Okay, oh, okay.
Right.
And so, Black Enterprise, I think, posted about him as well.
Okay, yeah,
so Mr. Dr. Joe.
Mr. Dr. Joe, exactly. Dr. Joe. Put extra respect on that name. So just wanted to mention that. Also wanted to mention, I mean, we mentioned him last week, but I mean, I just got to, mentioned her last week, trying to get my pronouns right.
Yes, please do, because I'm not trying to.
Got to give the fuck
I'm not trying to be lumped in with you, bro.
Fuck that nigga or niggette award again to Caitlyn Jenner. Because this motherfucker just keeps on with the fuckery. So she did an interview with Dana Bash from CNN a couple days ago. And again, complaining about how California's fucked up and blah, 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 blah. And so Dana Bash asked a simple question. He was like, well, who'd you vote for in the last election? Motherfucker said, I ain't vote. She was like, basically, like, nigga, what? Like, you ain't vote.
And I thought she had come out in support of
Trump, but come to find out, CNN ran the story today that was a lie.
Yeah, exactly. He did.
She
did vote and lied about it.
Right.
And she said that she like none of that, and she was like, well, she asked him because she asked him who did she vote for in the last presidential, and she said I didn't vote. And then Dana said, oh, what about down ballot like the California shit? And she's like, nah, I didn't vote for that either. I just went out and played golf that day. I ain't feel like, I mean, like nothing.
That doesn't help. But
Dana's looking at her like, my nigga, like, you're running for the governor. You're telling people you didn't even vote in the last election? Like, what is he talking about? And then, like bro said, come find out that the nigga lied. Like, this is crazy, bro. Like, the fuck?
The disassociation at this point is sociopathic. Well, like, how are you not seeing that?
She's, I hate calling everybody an op, but that there is somebody behind this campaign who's just doing it to create
votes,
unrest, and pull some people away. And,
yeah,
you know, kind of like with Kanye or who might, like, you know, just throw a little distraction in there. Enough or do
this motherfucker not even trying. She's not even trying. She's not even studying shit. She's just making shit up as she go. Just saying whatever. So
that's why I believe it. I believe that somebody else is
and I think the unpreparedness is clearly a sign that Chris is not really involved in this.
Absolutely not.
Like this level of
I don't think Chris is involved in anything, Caitlyn. Yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like I think that there's a level of what the fuck is happening that is trailed her since she left.
Oh yeah, her brand since
these
she
pronouns
left,
kicking my ass as you can tell.
Good job, you're doing a good job.
I'm trying, doing a better job than me.
Caitlyn's brand has been trash, and Bruce pre-transition always did seem a little bewildered by everything that was happening, and it increasingly felt like Chris was just kind of following behind Chris.
Yeah.
So
he was a good-looking white man who had won the Olympics. I mean, you can't take that from him. Yeah, won the Olympics of 76.
But Chris built his brand.
Yeah, but they was just dumping a bunch of money on his lap, and he was like, I bet. You know, okay.
Well, I think Chris did that.
This was also
pre-internet, right? So what you have is, so before social media, clearly, right? Before there's like this mass media that can kind of swarm on you, and you have the corporate culture of the retreats and the executive speeches. It was almost like perfect timing in that sort of mid-80s ridiculous we're gonna just drop an enormous amount of money to have this person come and speak. And that's really where they built that financial stability. What I'm saying, because
Chris has talked about that, like she got him into like the endorsement space and the speaker space. And that's kind of, I guess, where you could say she, you know, honed her skills for what she later did with her kids. But by the time the show came along, he definitely seemed like he was just kind of there to be there. You know, like I literally, because I watched early seasons of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I was never like a hardcore watcher, but I remember watching sometimes and be like, Bruce just,
Yeah, he got. Yeah. He was sitting on 100M. He had 100M himself, and he was just living that white, rich California white man lifestyle. I'm flying planes. I'm surfing. I'm golfing. You know, I'm just doing whatever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like every day is Saturday. You know, but anyway, fuck that nigga. So, next thing I want to mention is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions came out today. Big names include Tina Turner. I'm actually surprised it's not in already. I guess
Tina's already Ike. In with Tina's Ike, already right? in as part of Ike and Tina.
Yeah, but it's a solo. Jay-Z, LL Cool J, Clarence Avant, Kraftwerk, who I was surprised wasn't in.
Are those not?
No, those are the people who were nominated.
That's not who made it.
No, out of the blacklist, it was Jay and Tina.
Oh, I thought these are okay. Man, I'm looking at something different. So only Jay and Tina made. I thought LL made it. So LL didn't make it.
No.
No. What is LL already in? I thought LL was in. He's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. LL's in one of these already.
I don't know. I think cool. All right, cool. Well,
I thought LL was it. Oh, LL has a Kennedy Center honor already. That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah, LL got the Kennedy Center shit for sure. Okay, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Sorry. Well, Hov made it. And
Tina made it.
Tina made it. That's it.
Correct.
Carole King, Jay-Z, Foo Fighters. Oh, no, those are
Todd Rundgren. No, and the Go-Go's. The actual inductees for 2021 are the Foo Fighters, the Go-Go's, Jay, Carole King, which is crazy that Carole King is not already in this
crazy.
Shit.
Crazy.
Todd Rundgren, who did, if you guys know the Isley Brothers version of Hello, It's Me, that's a Todd Rundgren joint, and Tina Turner. Oh, and Clarence gets the Ahmet Erdogan Award, but I don't, and LL.
I'm Erdogan.
Yeah, who is the, if you guys don't know, the Atlantic executive who's best known for Aretha's career.
And Ray Charles.
And Ray Charles. And Musical Excellence Award is LL, Billy Preston, Randy Rhoads. And an early influence, Kraftwerk, Gil Scott-Heron, and Charlie Patton. I've not been familiar with these other awards, so I don't know what they mean in the context of like a Hall of Fame.
Of getting in, yeah.
I don't know if it's like with a Grammy where they designated as a non-performance Grammy or something. Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's insane to me that the Foo Fighters and Carole King are being inducted in the same year.
The Foo Fighters. They're actually surprised the Foo Fighters are getting in. Not because I'm actually a huge fan of theirs,
but they're in the '90s.
They're young. Yes, new. It's so new. I'm surprised Carole King isn't in because her album is Tapestry is very old and it was a masterpiece album. But anyway,
and her songwriting is
retarded. I mean, it's
out
dumb.
Of this world.
From the '60s. So I'm surprised. Peace to all the inductees and God bless.
I just want to say that the fucking disrespect for LL is unreal.
It's to ridiculous. Me. Always.
It's like fascinating to me how, you know, people like, and God bless Jay, he has an incredible body of work, but like Big and Pop are like, you can tell this is about campaigns. This is about suits. This is about people who kind of hit their peak. And those were the people that they fucked with.
Yeah.
And that's who's kind of making that happen. But like, come on, man. I just can't really process how L is just constantly just shitted on in this sort of way. And I mean, listen, he doesn't make a stink about it because it's just not his bag. I mean, he knows what he's done. He's obviously done well in life and has a great career as an actor, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? So this isn't like going to, like, the difference between him making this isn't going to be the difference between him getting another G a show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He could, you know, pay off a BMW or something, right? Like, he's fine. So, but like, the disrespect to him is just absolutely insane to me.
Yeah, niggas are a little cornerstone of hip hop. Literally. I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame years ago. I went to the one. It was pretty small back then. It was like maybe the Hyatt or something like that, in one of those ballrooms. It was the year that Prince got in, and I think did he get in that year? Yeah, or did he play? That was the year he played maybe with the George Harrison thing. I think he got in that year. It was Prince, because I remember Outkast. Yeah, it was. Outkast were part of the people who, like, you know, did the introduction for Prince. But it was really interesting, like, because you're in this room, and again, it's a ballroom, so at that point, it wasn't this big. It wasn't on TV. It wasn't even on TV.
It's not on TV now.
Not when I went. I thought they'd do a TV thing now. Mm-mm. Okay, well, it definitely wasn't on TV. It wasn't no TV thing. So you're in the room, and it's like, yo, should have got Bruce Springsteen. That's, oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, should have got Earl Clapton right over there. All these dudes are just, like, in the room, just kicking it. You could walk up to, I mean, it's, you know, it's got tables and stuff, but, yeah, you know, there's a lot of moving around and, you know, and whatnot.
It's not televised because it's not, there are sometimes tribute performances, but it's not like a produced award show like that. But we usually end up seeing clips, you know, and speeches and stuff. Yeah. But I will say, so just for reference, the rappers that are currently in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are Grandmaster Flash and Furious Five, Run DMC, which is appropriate, Beastie Boys. So Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five were inducted in 2007, Run DMC in 2009, the Beasties in 2012, Public Enemy in 2013, NWA in 2016, Pac was the first solo artist in 2017, Biggie was inducted in 2019. So these all make sense.
Yeah, they all make sense. LL needs to be next on the list. There's a whole lot of people that need to be in it on end. Like,
yeah.
Like a lot of people. But also, like, as you see, there's like a, you know, this kind of like an early stronghold, Def Jam stronghold because of Rick Rubin's status in the Rock side of things as well. I mean, and that's not to say Beasties and those other guys don't deserve to be in, but Beasties and Run being tied to Rick didn't hurt, is what I'm saying. It didn't hurt their case getting in. But and again, they deserve it. It's nobody, no disrespect, but it's just, yeah, it's still politics. But anyway, let's we'll move on from that. Yo, I'm not a fan, but I gotta say, yo, peace to the Knicks.
I remain shocked.
The Knicks are playing great basketball. They actually lost to the Lakers last night, and that was a great game. It was a great game. Came down to, went overtime. Came down to a last shot. But the Knicks are, like, in the playoffs, like, legit, like, real, you know, solid seed. I think like a 6 seed, 5 seed. Playing great basketball. You know, nobody saw this coming. And what's shocking to me is, being a team, like a story team like the New York Knicks, obviously, you know, the story franchise, they're really not getting no play in the media. It's bugged out. But I think that's because the new general manager's name is Leon Rose, and he brought in this guy named Worldwide West. West is this guy who's been around. I don't even know West. Well, I knew him back when I worked with Shaq. But West has been around the basketball NBA forever. He, like, is literally like the fixer. Anything you needed, like, call Wes, and Wes could handle it. But now he's the GM there. But him and Leon do zero press. I don't think they've done one interview since they started. And I think that's why they're being frozen out, because they don't talk to nobody. So the press is like, well, fuck y'all then. Because the New York Knicks going from last year to this year, the jump they've made should be probably the biggest story, one of the biggest stories anyway, of the year. And they literally won't, they, like, you could watch a whole Sports Center and they won't even mention it. Like, oh, the Knicks won tonight. It's like, it's crazy. They're like up like a 40 plus games. But anyway.
But also, like, do the Knicks have?
They don't have a star.
They don't have any big names right now. Cause that's why I was so shocked. Cause I was like, wait, the Knicks are on a winner. This was weeks ago. I was like, the Knicks are on a winner streak. What happened?
But they got Julius Randle, who wasn't a star, who's made a leap to be a star, like a legit star. And they got Derrick Rose, who's, you know, was a great star, got hurt, came back. But they don't have any other stars. I mean, it's just the franchise in and of itself. Nobody saw this coming in 1 year. Like, you know, but I think it's because the press is kind of like, well, fuck y'all back. Anyway, let's move on to, got to say one more thing. I doubt any of y'all watched it, but I watched the Canelo fight this weekend, Saturday night.
Nope.
He beat this guy, Saunders. It was a good fight, actually. But the notable thing is, yo, Canelo literally broke this dude's face. He broke his face.
A lot.
Like, he hit the dude with uppercut, and the guy couldn't come out for the next round, and it's revealed later on, like, he broke his face. like his cheekbone, his orbital bone, his shit, his eye was like sunk in. This shit was crazy. So, I don't know. What did y'all watch this thing with Floyd fighting Logan Paul and the chaos at the press conference? What do you think, bro?
I think it's, you know.
It's bullshit?
I mean, to me, and I saw someone compare this to Jesse Owens, you know, like racing a horse, to which I would say, like, that's like totally different, considering Jesse Owens was probably racing that horse to like literally put food on his table, right? Like,
no, he actually like was.
Literally, yeah. Right? Whereas Floyd is clearly doing this for attention. He's a showman. This is what he does. People are enamored with him. You know, he's done this before in the past with his fights in a. He does it very actually. One of the things Floyd does act very good is he race baits in a very subtle way.
Absolutely.
And he does so in a way that allows him to almost kind of walk in as the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it with Conor McGregor.
Yep. He's did it with Canelo. He's done it with
the Mexicans. He's doing mm-hmm. it with the white guy now. And Floyd knows he's a villain. He knows he's a villain in everyone's story. He knows everyone wants to dial in to see him lose.
Yep.
Floyd Mayweather is a lot of things, okay? And being bad at boxing is not one of them.
True.
Okay? Like, I mean, this ain't Nate Robinson.
He is a boxer. Yeah.
This is not Nate Robinson. Like, this is what he does. This mm-hmm. is not some shit he discovered when he was 18 and he was, you know, off in a gym, you know, because someone took his bike. It's none of that shit, okay? His father, this shit is in his blood.
Yeah.
He been doing this shit since ever, nigga. He didn't, you know, there was probably not a time in his life where he didn't know how to fight, right?
True,
like, so I just, like, this is second nature to him. If you ever notice the one thing about Floyd is never out of shape.
Yeah, he never is.
He's never out of shape.
He don't like blow up and have to come back down or whatever.
Dude, Floyd is probably anywhere between 5 to 7 pounds than what he was when he was fighting. If not the same weight. So
yeah.
Floyd will be fine. This is a joke. I would never spend money on this. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah. This is what I'm going to say. If he was fighting Jake Paul, I'd be like, a little bit more nervous because Jake actually can fight a little bit. I mean, he can't fight like Floyd. Don't get it fucked up. The only thing that makes me kind of curious about this fight is Logan is so much bigger than Floyd. If you know, again, it's always like if he get one punch in, but like that's way easier said than done with Floyd. Like the best of the best couldn't get one punch in.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I might be great, right? But like, nigga, like, am I going to really score on LeBron right now? Like, is LeBron really going to let me? Like, he might let me shoot a jump shot, and I might, you know, get a shot in, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. But you ain't going to win no game.
I'm not taking him to the bucket. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to give KD the business.
Yeah.
You know, he's about to have 50 in the first quarter on me.
Exactly. And I'm going to be out there mad as shit. I wanted to also mention the table spaghetti.
I did a deep dive on her page. It's one woman.
It's the same white lady, right? That's doing all this shit, right?
So there's this woman on Facebook who, because there's also a theory I heard that just disturbs me to my core. Because I had to do a deep dive on this shit because I ignore the table tacos, nachos, whatever the fuck that was.
It was nachos.
I ignored the hell out of that. Then I saw the spaghetti. So for those who haven't seen, there's this white woman. She has this open floor plan kitchen, very modern, with a marble and or formica
island.
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 Mm-hmm. Marble, it's not quartz? Because I feel like the cheese would have stained the marble.
Whatever it is porous. I don't know. Because I'm just like, why are you doing all this shit on porous? Whatever. Anyway, it looks like marble. It might be quartz. But she likes to prepare these meals that aren't complicated at all. She calls them hacks, but even what she's doing is not really hacks. And prepare them right on the island top, the countertop, with nothing underneath it. Not even like some butcher paper.
No heat.
Like
no heat. And, no, no,
And like, and she always makes enough for like 20 people or some shit like that, right?
She's having a party.
It looks like it should go on a food trail. So she does this. She did it with the nachos. She did it with pasta. Cold, two big ass joints of Prego. Cold, cold, no cooking.
Just out the jar.
Right out the jar. Right out the jar. Right out the supermarket.
Sprinkle some goddamn packaged cheese on it. I went to her page. I saw this bitch take a paper roll towel. Her and her husband, they took the paper roll off the towel. Took some chicken breasts. Straight out the pack.
Oh,
put
some
roll on the counter and started putting the chicken breast on the
paper towel holder.
Talking about it was a quick way to make, and would put like slices of onion and stuff in between. Talking about it was a quick way to make a bunch of chicken at one time. But you could put that shit on a bacon rack and do all
but
that.
But then they put the paper towel spindle in the oven.
So in the oven.
You put some iron or whatever that shit is.
Yeah, random ass. That shit's not making me cook.
Plus, the shit's hot as fuck. Like, it's,
I'm sure it's not hot, food safe either.
It's not. It's not meant to be cooked.
All that paint.
They're and the raw chicken because they're handling the chicken. And then she asked her husband to throw
no
her the
seasoning,
Lowry.
By the way, no seasoning.
She tries to act like seasoning. She's always like, "Can't forget your seasoning. Seasoning is important." But I've seen her use Lowry salt and pepper. Those are her seasonings. But her husband takes the Lowry's out of like the junk drawer with the baby bottles in it. Or some shit. They don't even have it in a jar. But they're also she's handling everything as handling raw chicken. You know what I mean? So there's so many things that were cringe. Then I saw her do, and this is what made me think of something else. So she was trying to do mac and cheese, but it was melted Velveeta type, a cheese.
On the island again?
With the island again. Cut up hot dogs. Butter, 2 sticks of butter chopped up. And like 6 boxes of elbow pasta.
2 sticks of butter chopped up.
Like sliced up in squares.
And just mix them in?
She's mixed it all in, right? So people are telling me that they believe this might be, the chicken doesn't fit in here, but they're saying they believe it's what might be called mess porn, which is people actually get
turned on watching this shit.
Because you know, she always mixes shit with her hands. And people were saying something about like the tone of voice she uses. And I was like, that's even more disgusting than the regular.
Charmin looking at you.
There you go.
You can't even nobody house.
It's too much. I'm like, white people, why y'all like this? Nobody's eating. You cannot
know cats be up on that counter. That
oh, cats.
She's mice. Like, when she was making the mac and cheese, she was like, all my friends are coming over, bitch. You made 6 boxes of pasta.
She they never
got
shows,
that many friends in the goddamn
she
world.
Never showed nobody eating nothing.
Nobody's eating that shit.
Oh. No. She keeps talking about
foil. Is there a foil pan shortage? What's
she
the problem?
Thinks it's cute to have just like out there. But like, you can. Like I said, put some butcher paper. If you don't do shit else, at least put some wax paper down, some butcher paper, something. You can do something. Okay. Serve this on your raw-ass counter.
You know, black people, our mimas have been cooking for dozens of people at once for years and years and years. I have never seen a piece of raw chicken on a raw-ass counter in a black
ever.
Home. That's
ever.
Not a thing.
And you won't.
And you won't.
And you won't. No. It's disgusting.
And she don't use. I ain't never seen this bitch use a cutting board,
nothing. A glove,
pull out the package and it's ready to go. See, it's a
that Prego on the counter.
Out the pot, right onto the goddamn.
Yeah, look, let's eat this.
It's also wasteful. Like so you're not eating that. I don't believe you at all. So then my other thing is this thing of I wonder if she's the same lady who's doing shit in the toilet.
I don't want.
Okay, thing of like wasting.
I can't do the toilet thing.
Wasting food for the gram during the pandemic when the U.S. is facing like the highest food insecurity crisis that we've had since they started tracking this shit is also just like a whole nother level of.
Yeah, also, because of the pandemic, we are short on everything from gas to beef.
Oh yeah, they're in North Carolina hoarding gas right now.
Yeah, it's all through the South, the gas shit. Yeah. I've been seeing the Atlanta folks too, like no gas. So I don't got no car, so it don't affect me. But God bless. That shit was nasty, man. That shit was nasty. It was nasty. I want to mention a show. I don't think I mentioned it last week. It's called Generation Hustle. It's on HBO Max.
Is this a scammer rapper dude?
Yeah, but it's actually 12 mini docs. So when you go to Generation Hustle, it's like 12. He's one of them. But they're all, the docs are like 45, 46 minutes long, and they're about different people who have scammed different systems. So the rapper kid, and honestly, like, my man Success from Atlantic, he signed him, and I know his manager, Propane, good dude, so I'm not disrespecting, but like, to me, the rapper kid's story was like minimal compared to some of the other shit. Was like, motherfuckers was really scamming like crazy bread. But they're just all fascinating stories about how, you know, people kind of got into these different systems of scam. Of course, most, except for the rap kid, everybody else is white. And except for this one kid who's, I guess he's like Filipino or something. But they're just fascinating because they show, you know, the gullibility of people. I don't know if gullibility is a word, but the gullibility of people. And how, you know, not surprised, white people can get away with all kinds of shit. Yeah. And not really, you know, suffering those serious consequences for scamming, you know, at times millions of dollars from people or from corporations. They're looked at as almost like fucking heroes. Like, oh, wow, fascinating. You scammed the system.
Good for you for getting over it, yeah.
Good for you for getting over it, exactly. The black kid, I'm like, dude, like, you kind of need to chill because the shit you're doing, like he's doing, they're doing like credit card scams and stuff like that. It's like, bro, you might want to be low with that shit because they're gonna be on your neck.
100%.
You know, but it's a really good series. And again, it's like 12 of them, so there's all these different stories and shit, including that girl. You remember the story about the girl Anna Delvey? She was in New York actually. She was scamming.
Oh, the girl who was pretending to be a socialite?
Yes.
And scamming all the white people?
They did her.
That was a great story. Yeah.
They did her, and they did WeWork. I thought about, bro, you gotta watch the WeWork. I know it drives you up the wall, but you gotta watch that one, bro. You gotta watch it. You gotta watch it. Yeah, they did WeWork. They do all them. So I definitely wanted to mention that. It's very, just very interesting thing. I don't know if any of the new TV shit I watched this week. I watched, you know, the normal shit. Inka, did you watch Ready to Love? You ain't watch this week? Okay. We'll skip past it to next week. We could
Sorry,
talk
about... she was screaming. We did not.
Okay. That's all right.
I was watching the Verses or whatever night that was.
Yeah, it was the Verses night. It was the same. I watched Ready to Love like the next day or something like that. So, you know what? Let's mention the Verses. So, Verses Saturday night. SWV versus Escape in Atlanta, which I thought was a little, not janky, but, you know, it tipped the scales a little bit because basically Escape's whole family, all four, you know, four of them, their whole families were in the building. Obviously, right. SWV's not from there. So, like, it was, it was a lot of hollering for Escape. And some.
Oh, you know what's interesting? Even though SWV is from New York, I have really never felt like, I don't identify SWV with New York as closely as I identify Escape with Atlanta.
Really?
I can't really explain why. Like, I know they're from here, but I've never felt New York on them the way I feel like New York on like Salt and Pepper or Kim or, I don't know, or Mary. I've never felt like Mary. I just see Mary and I just see Roundaway Girls.
I think the biggest thing, and I understand exactly what you're saying, right. And I think that is because they're not tied to a producer. Mm. They're really kind of a standalone group in a period and in a time when you weren't necessarily a standalone. Either you were associated with a label, a producer, a clique, or a group of guys that kind of brought you in, and they were really none of that. They really kind of just came onto the scene. And they don't necessarily represent a borough in the way Harlem has Mace or, Mary has Uptown and Mount Vernon Sound. And you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah, because also they weren't from the same borough, because Coco from the Bronx, and I know Todd's from Brooklyn. I think Lily's from Brooklyn.
Are from Brooklyn, but yeah. They were all in Brooklyn at one point. But yeah, I think that's it.
What's her name? Coco went to church in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Because her and what's it called? Sung in the same choir for quite a while. Her and Kelly Price. So that was the Brooklyn connection with them. But she's from the Bronx. But her mom was like a church director.
You're absolutely right, Sean. They were on a major. They weren't on a JV. So there wasn't even like that Uptown or So So Def or it. I didn't feel like New York was part of their brand aesthetic. And with other women who are from, but Atlanta was part of Escape's brand aesthetic. You know what
I mean? Because of So So Def and all that.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But I enjoyed the beginning. There was definitely like a tension in the air on the SWV side. And, you know, Coco's been known over the years to, you know, throw some tantrums and not always be the nicest person.
But,
you know?
But did you hear what happened?
We found out later on that there was an incident where a woman was shot. I don't know if it was in front of her or near her, but she saw a bad incident when a woman was hurt and it shook her to her core to the point when she said she almost didn't come because she was so shook up. She had like a panic attack and everything. But fortunately, her kids were there and, you know, they kind of calmed her down and, you know, walked her through it and she got out there.
You should also explain why they were so late.
Yeah, why they were so late. Exactly. And then, you know, by the second half, she had loosened up and you saw the difference when the second half when they came out. Because the first half of the show, they were totally separate. They weren't interacting at all. It was like, y'all over here, we over here. They weren't even really talking to each other, really. It was kind of almost a little bit adversarial a bit. Not that they was going to fight, but it was definitely kind of like, well, we did this or we did that. But then the second half, I think Escape started and then Coco and Lily and Taz came over and like hugged the girls and
were kind of dancing together. Like, Escape kind of like played the middle instead of staying completely on their side of the stage.
Yeah. They started dancing together and everything. And Taj is very friendly, so she's going to be the peacemaker. So once that happened, it got like a lot of looser and stuff like that, and it became a lot more fun. But I enjoyed it. I think SWV beat him down, honestly. Maybe beat him down is strong, but I just thought SWV had way more records than Escape did. But Escape got off because they had some records that were like big, like locally in Atlanta, and then their family was there too, so you could hear like the people yelling for them and stuff. But overall, I enjoyed it. What'd y'all think about it?
I wasn't really so I had it on. I was in DC because I went both for Mother's Day and for Dr. Grant.
Dr.
And
Mr.
By
Joe.
The time Versus came on, it was me, one of my sorority sisters, and Cheyenne in the room, and we was talking shit just about life. So it was on in the background because when we first turned it on, the energy was so bleh.
It was low. Bleh. It was low.
And I think that's one of the places actually where Escape loses out the SWV. SWV is just three. Escape is four. But even within Escape, they're beefing a lot, right? And they've never, like Escape has never felt to me as a group like a bunch of girls I want to hang out with. Whereas I think SWV as a group feels like chicks you could kick it with. And I think that like Candy individually or Tiny individually, but Tamika has always seemed like a mean girl. Like she always like she wanna fight. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just they don't give you the same. They give a good performance, but in terms of like, do you wanna hang out with these girls? Like do you feel like that? Do you feel like you know them? Do you feel like you call them up and talk to them? They don't feel like that. SWV feels like the girls in a beauty shop. So I think that that's part of what has won a lot of people over, because I've noticed this on Twitter. People at like Escape had no songs. And I'm like, that's what we're not going to do.
They had records.
Escape had, even though SWV has sold more records, Escape had more chart hits almost across the board. But Escape's hits are like more kind of jammy, enduring, nostalgic hits. But Escape has really good records. Like in terms of just who I go back and listen to more often, it's probably Escape. They had great songs, but it's kind of like I like their music more than I like them as a group. Does that make sense? Mm. So I think people
I also think that, I mean, I'm not going to say... I'm not going to say they cheated, but the whole couple of the records that they played, the skate side. The Mariah one really bothered me. The Mariah one really bothered me because...
It was a remix.
No, but they just did some backgrounds, bro. That was a Mariah song.
People had done that, but Coco, all Coco sang was damn Men in Black. Didn't Coco bring out Men in Black?
Yeah, but she sung the chorus by herself. They just did background. Go ahead, Nika.
I feel like it would be different if it was a one-on-one, like if Candy were a solo artist and Coco was a solo artist, and they did their production stuff, you know, as part of the verses that way. But it wasn't the whole group. It was like... she mentioned that Tamika had done some writing for Tyler Perry or whatever before they played No Scrubs, I guess, to try to include her, but it just felt disingenuous.
But No Scrubs was half the group. It was Candy and
Tiny.
Well, yeah, I'm just using that as an example, but it just didn't. It felt like they was just sitting there for. I did not like the production ones being included.
I knew she was going to do that because, of course, she's going to do that. Because people were, I mean, because otherwise, it's not like Candy's going to get her own verses, you know. And this is only second group. It's also only the second group verses that we've had. So there's not like there's any because the other ones are Jagged Edge and 112. What are they gonna pull out? So it's aside from the Isley Brothers. I don't count them within the regular.
But it's still groups.
But they're groups. They're different. I mean, they had so much that they did.
I mean, them niggas is legends, but I mean, they're groups. They are groups.
I mean, the other ones comparable to this were 112 and Jagged Edge, and they didn't do a lot of stuff for. I don't think the twins did anything for outside artists that I know of.
Nivea, the Don't Mess With My Man. I don't think they played that though.
Right. So like, I'm not mad. Also, people still take this shit way too seriously. It's just like, let them live. People be like, that's not fair.
It was a fun night.
It wasn't fair.
It just, like I said, that's the only one. The other stuff I was like, I didn't even know they were they even sung backgrounds on that Mariah song. Like, that's
the remix. They did it on a JD remix. They're in the video on everything.
No, I know, but it was just like, I just thought they was on the video because it was so deaf, because the brat, and he just put his squad in the video. I didn't think, you know, whatever. We talked too long about that. Anyway.
But Trilla did introduce a voting system for the first time. I'm curious. I didn't even get a chance.
We didn't see the numbers, though.
Yeah.
go ahead. What was you going to say?
I was just gonna say I got my life. I had a good time in
it. I did. I enjoyed it.
Also, Escape might have hits, but they don't have anything that is anywhere near Week. It does not exist.
Or Rain. All
that is the big joker. Week, Rain, anything.
Yeah, and then what else killed? I always loved the song, but it really killed even more than I expected it to. Was Using My Heart when they did Using My Heart? I was like, oh, that. I killed. That's a Pharrell record. I always forget.
Yeah, early Pharrell.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, yeah, Use My Heart was hot. You know, I forgot how much. And then you know what else? Escape besides
Understanding
just
goes
kick
to
it.
Not for nothing.
Yeah, Understanding. But besides just Kick It, off the top of my head, and maybe some else I'm not remembering. Escape doesn't have like those bouncy records like Anything or the Right Here. They don't have a lot of mids.
Yeah.
They don't have like swing records. It's kind of like ballad.
That's from the era where we were dancing hard as shit. So I can see how people
Escape came out 1 year after SWV. They're not that far apart.
But I'm saying,
in the same era, they weren't playing that at my school dances, the Escape records.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because like SWV came out when I was still in high school and Escape came out right when I started college, but we played the hell out of all them Escape albums. We played Humming Coming At You, Put It On, running straight through, but it was like in the car, in the club, you know, whatever. But still, like, we ran the shit out of the album. We ran it into the ground. That was
bro. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. I want to give a shout out to the Doritos man. The Doritos man must have been backstage with the fucking hammer out. Like, y'all niggas gonna shout me out.
You're gonna miss me, Cool Ranch.
It was.
I think we got to talk about the DJs too.
What's his name? J1?
DJ A1.
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 Bruh, I'm not putting my college in the chat. I'm not. We're not there with you. Let's just play these songs.
So
nigga was like, I'm gonna get some bookings out of this shit. I don't know what y'all niggas talk about.
And for full transparency, I believe A1 is still Escape's DJ.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's who goes out with them. So I think that was a part of it as well. Did I enjoy it? Enjoy is probably a very strong word for me. Did I sit through it? Yes.
Yeah.
Did I enjoy the Coco memes? Sure. Obviously, all of that changed as we sort of understood why she was the way she was. But by and large, we weren't necessarily, like, that aside, even if that didn't happen and that was the case, like, we weren't really surprised at any of that. So that's what made it kind of a little fun and a little jokey. I don't think anything was being said that Coco herself has not heard or doesn't think or know that people say about her.
Absolutely. Well, it wasn't shocking.
At all, right? But again, she's, the reality is there's nobody vocally that's fucking with her in that building.
And she knows
period.
That. Nope. And
they know that.
Yeah,
I do want to say all the ladies look good, and I'm very happy Spinderella understood the assignment and
didn't try to get a mic.
Yes, Lord.
Spin came through. God bless
her. But that and the funny thing is those two DJing styles. That's the difference between, like, Spin is the kind of DJ that is going to get the corporate gigs.
Yep.
And A1 is the kind of DJ that's going to get those club gigs and get those club dates, and he's going to rock, and he's going to do well. And we have to remember that DJs do have different styles.
Well, yeah.
And they all DJs matter, right? Like, all DJs matter.
All DJs matter.
And so each style does lend itself. And we have to remember that down in that particular region where he is, that style plays much better.
Yeah.
I've seen him do his thing while on tour with them. And he does well, right? Like,
I'm sure.
Like, a lot of places.
He's giving you a show.
A lot of places do that. But Spin is kind of more of that. I would probably say more off the Derek tree, off the D-Nice tree.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that.
Be kind of understanding and playing the crowd and letting the music do it. Like, you're not a part of the show. Like, you're here to entertain people, but you're not a part of the show. But all in all, I thought it was really cool. I think, and I've said this 1,000 times, I think Versus has, for my taste, has gotten incredibly out of control. In terms of, it's gotten so far away from what it initially was, that it's not even the same thing anymore.
Not at all. It's a concert now.
To me, those huge, you know, sort of massive, that, like, that stage to me was just massive.
Yeah.
There was no intimacy, and I think that was part of why you saw such a disconnect, because they were so separated.
Yeah.
Right, like, it's very hard to, like, embrace somebody that's, like, fucking 200 feet away from you, right? Like, that's not, you know. Yeah. And so you got these big ass stages. Whereas when you look at the Verses with Earth, Wind, and Fire and Isley's, I mean, we're literally they were 6 feet apart, barely.
Yeah.
Nigga.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And Steve was in the middle. But, you know, listen, it is what it is. It was Mother's Day. I'm pretty sure, you know, Mother's Day the next day. So, I mean, I'm sure they done well. People were preparing for it.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless. So, and peace to whomever told Swiss to make sure he tell them niggas to drink that Ciroc. Because I'm sure Diddy was mad that the Doritos man was getting all that shine.
All the shine. And Doritos.
Niggas wasn't busting open that pineapple. Busting up that coconut, nigga.
Niggas walking out
popping.
Niggas walking out on stage with the purple bag Doritos. Snapping.
Come on, man. This new Doritos, nigga. They ain't even came out yet.
Word, they got special flavors.
You ain't got these.
Dill Doritos and shit. But yeah, it was, you know, it's fun. I just want to see what's next or who's next. And I know I'm still curious to see. They said they were gonna be running back one. I don't know who that's gonna be.
Yeah, it was just supposed to be Memorial Day weekend. They still haven't that kind of schedule that they debuted earlier this year, there was supposed to be a Mother's Day one, which obviously did not happen. And I wonder if part of it might have been because Cassidy had a Pass the Mic joint on Sunday, which if you guys haven't watched that,
that was dope.
I didn't even know that was happening.
Well, like, a bunch of people don't. And maybe because it's not a...
Was it BT? No. It's on BT. Yeah, BT. And niggas don't watch BT.
He started it on his lives.
Yeah.
But it's pre-recorded and very well produced. And it's like, it's more of your legends. They do a song each and then kind of like pass it on to somebody else. So this one he had... I'll be sure he had
Miss Gladys on there, right?
I'll be sure was singing.
He had the Force MDs. He had
Vanessa Williams on the phone.
Huh?
Oh, yeah,
Vanessa Williams.
Vanessa Williams. Yeah, Valerie Simpson. And okay. I'm missing some people. So he be having, because the thing about Cassidy is that I think part of the reason it's not as big is because Black people don't know Cassidy like that. Yeah. Depending on where you're from. New Yorkers know him.
Yeah.
He's an excellent, he's a Derek-like DJ, but he's a Jewish. And he was like this Upper East Side kid who was always, I think his father was an agent or something, but he was always around rappers and hip hop.
Always into the music.
O'Neal McKnight, who was Andre Harrell's nephew, was his best friend, which got him very close to Dre and Puff and all of them. So he used to do mixtapes with Andre. Matter of fact, I think he dropped one rap to Dre died.
He did.
And he's been like one of Puff's semi-regular DJs and stuff. I mean, he has such great respect for the legends, and they respect him too, right? Like Cassie can call up Verdine White and be like, "What you doing?" Blah, blah, blah. You know, like that type of thing. So he's got like deep cuts people. You know what I mean? Oh yeah, Matume. I think this time.
Okay.
So. BT puts the clips on their socials. I think they're trying to kind of.
But again, nobody fucks with BT like anything, right. So it's not.
It's also we watch the verses for the interaction,
right?
Mm-hmm. Not a pretext. Like anybody can, and this is no disrespect to Cassidy, so this is not shade, but it is pre-tape, right? Like there's no one's going to fuck up here, right? There's no interaction between the artists, there's no camaraderie, there's no moment that you feel like you're going, like what he does is very easily on demand. And the beauty, one of the beauties of Versus is that it isn't on demand. You might be able to get clips here and there, but there is something that you do capture in the moment when you're watching it.
When you're watching it,
And it always makes the Afion and Spice afterward so much more funny because it's so pointed.
So, but I say it's not going to get the same traction as Versus. You're right because it serves a different purpose, but it's still.
But very it's good though. It's
still
good.
Very feel good. It's still very nostalgic.
It feels good.
And you have more of these people, you know what I mean? Like,
because they can do it at home. So
they're doing it at the crib. So
you got a chance to like look cute and everything. And it's so check it out when you get a chance. It's Pass the Mic with DJ Cassidy. But like I said, BT has it up on all their socials. So.
Okay. Inka, you watch Mare?
Yes.
You watch Mare and I?
Yeah, I watch it.
Yo, I love this show, nigga. I love this show, man. This show was incredible.
This show be stressing me out. I think because I've
binged. Oh, it's definitely a stressful show.
I think because I binged it to get into it. Sometimes I just be feeling like it's too much. Like, I don't know.
It is. It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot. And more to come. It's three more episodes. It's seven altogether. So it's three more to go. And I have no idea who this killer dude is. And you know,
Do we think it's the priest?
I don't think so. I looked on YouTube, not that the YouTube stuff, and people were doing like stop frames and comparing hair and shit like that. And they don't think it's him.
Yeah, the guy did have like a bang.
Yeah, the different kind of hairstyle. So I don't know who it is. So what I figured is like the way, and it could just, I could be overthinking it, but the way the girl, so for those who watch the show, there was a scene where there was a girl that ends up getting kidnapped and she's in the car with this guy who kidnaps her. We can't see him. They're in a van, actually. And she's talking. She's just like, oh, yeah, da, 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 my mother did that. What I took from that is like, I thought that she might know him. First of all, because the town is so small, and she was so comfortable talking to the person. Like she's like, oh, I know. Oh, no, she's like, oh, you never did this before, but it didn't feel like she got in a van with a stranger. And I think, and then when you find out later on that the woman, there's another woman who's been looking for her child for a year, and then we mm-hmm. see that child, people thought the child was dead, like, because they couldn't find her, and we see that child had been abducted before and is in the same place we threw the new girl. And I'm like, okay, this guy might know them. Because they're meeting somebody and they're going away with them in this town that's so small. I think they would be very apprehensive to go somewhere with somebody they didn't know from Adam.
But aren't they all on back? Were they all sex?
Yeah, they were on back page. But I think it was somebody that's like, oh, you on back page? Oh, okay, it was you that hit me like that. Okay. You know, this is a theory. It's a theory I'm throwing out. I don't know. We'll see. But the show was intense, man. It's like so many twists and turns, like. You just don't know where it's going every week. And it's another layer. Only thing that bothered me this week was the baby, the
grandbaby.
The kid in the hospital.
Yeah.
I'm like, would they let a baby sleep in a hospital room?
Yeah.
They would?
I don't know about that. They would? Okay.
The mom was there. She just went out to get a couple of...
The
grandmom, sorry. Yeah. Dylan's mom was there.
They got a crib in there.
Jeff, that's a real thing.
Okay. All right. I'm falling back.
There just has to be another guardian there with the baby. But if it's your baby, they will allow your baby to stay in
your room. Okay, I got
you. Depending on like what's wrong with you. Sepsis.
Contagious or something. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know. What did y'all think about this week's episode?
I thought it was intense. That shit with Freddie, like with the Black family, and how he
I had to run that back.
Wild.
So that's the thing about me watching this show, and it's probably because the entire time I've been watching it, I've had a lot of writing assignments over the past 2 weeks. So the entire time I've been watching it, I've been trying to watch it and write at the same time.
Nah, you got to watch.
I end up having to run shit back, and I told y'all in the chat too. I have this problem with shows that are shot really darkly. It's so much harder for me to focus. I'd be like, wait, what did I just miss? What was that? What just happened? So I have to run this shit. I always have to watch these episodes at least twice. Mm-hmm. And that thing with Freddie in the warehouse or whatever, I had to run that shit back like four times. I was like, wait, what just happened? Like, I think
the whole storyline with the Black family is just really well written. Like, there's some nuance there. Like, Black family that's kind of the capsule, but in the white kind of poor neighborhood
town. But how her and the white girl are like real friends. Like, but they go back
to high school.
I'm sure, and I'm sure that I thought what you thought, Anchor, was just like, you would assume in a town this small and this white, there's probably racism, but. Maybe not because it's just everybody's kind of equal. Everybody's equal. Everybody's
well, there's not equal. Enough Black people, so it's probably just like, oh, but y'all not regular Black.
It's not even regular Black or not Black. It's just like you're just a girl I've known since kindergarten.
Right.
I don't even a white person probably would say I don't even look at you as Black. You're just my friend.
Yeah. The reason is because the numbers are so small. The Black in towns like that, and I say this having known spaces like that in South Carolina, you have no choice but to fully assimilate, really.
Yeah, there's no option.
You know what I mean? It's not like you're going to go do some Black shit with some other Black people. Like, you just kind of, you know. It's like people who were talking to that woman, that clip that was circulating around where they were like, we have a Black woman in church. We call her Big Mama.
That was down in Florida. Well, that was a little racist. But I remember, but I remember, you know, watching documentaries years ago about like Pete Rose and Joe Namath, right? Both of those guys grew up in Pennsylvania, right? In like middle Pennsylvania back when like their dads worked at the mills and blah, 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 blah. And I remember both of them, in different towns, but I remember both of them saying like, yeah, like we're just Black people. Like it was all the same. Like Pete Rose, Joe Namath, they grew up around a bunch of Black people because Black people had come to those areas to work in the mills and they just lived in the town. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like the, it wasn't, and I think these are kind of like the offspring down from that, where it's like our families have lived here for 80 years and so is theirs. So we just don't even look at it as there's much difference. It's just like, oh, that's Freddie the junkie. Well, not the nigga junkie. I don't know. You know, well, go ahead.
I think the racism is there. But I big up the acting of the Black lady's family. They just cut to them for like a minute at the table.
And we knew all of them.
You could tell who they were. You could tell there was tension because the brother was staying there. And then when she verbalized it and said, yeah, this is costing me my marriage. Like, my shit is fucked up right now. It was like, yes, that is the guy who just looked at you that way. Like, I just think it's so well done.
That was the husband.
Dark, but so good.
Mm-hmm. They go all trying to watch TV and they come this nigga. Walking in front of the TV.
Smelling like outside.
Smelling like piss.
Just like, nigga, you ain't grown. You ain't made in a glass factory.
Nigga, fuck downstairs,
do
nigga.
Still say that? Do parents still tell their kids they wasn't born in a glass factory?
Yeah, cool? Probably.
Your daddy wasn't a glass maker. Yeah.
But exactly.
Like, what?
But this show is it's a great show. And it feels like
my daddy wasn't a glass. Okay, sorry.
It feels like it's picking up steam a little bit. Like, I think people kind of starting to kind of discover it a little bit. But Mayor of Eastwood, like, East Town, excuse me. If you're not watching it, like, you should watch it because it's fucking great. And it's like Inka said, it's like master class of acting across the board. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, Kate Winslet obviously is like fucking a little thespian, but nobody's slacking. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody is like crushing that shit. I want to talk about a little political thing, which is this story that picked up a lot of steam. It's been happening, but it's picked up a lot of steam within the last week or so when the unemployment numbers came out and they weren't as high as the Biden administration was expecting. And of course, economists and everything got right on this and said it's because people who are working, who work kind of like minimum wage, I hate to say minimum wage jobs. I work like, you know, not like upper echelon jobs, whatever you want to call
it. You mean labor or?
This labor and, yeah. But a lot of people are making more money being on unemployment than working.
Or the money that they're leaving on the table is worth it for the lack of. Like even if they make $100 or $200 a week less on unemployment, it's worth it because they're not stressed out and they're not
overworked. Yeah, and you don't have to travel. There's no commute.
They don't have to get childcare, and they don't have. Yeah. So basically, it's just it makes more sense
to stay home. Like one of my producers, he went to Vegas. He's coming home today, but he was like, "Yo, like it takes on the weekends. It takes people 2 hours to get an Uber." Because there's no drivers. Because the drivers is like, what the hell am I doing? I'm driving around. I'm not making as much money. I'm burning gas. I'm putting miles on my car. Like, fuck that. I'll just take the unemployment and I'll stay home and, you know, be with my family. So he said on like a Wednesday or whatever, it's usually like a average like 30-minute wait. You know, where Uber's supposed to be like, you know, it's a few minutes. And on the weekends, it's like 2-3 hours to get from, you know, the strip to the airport. Just to get a car, not the traffic itself, to get a car is a 2-3 hour wait on Uber because there's not enough drivers around. So, and this is, you know, so a lot of these companies, well, and even small businesses are, you know, stressing because they're like, man, we got to cut this extra unemployment to get people to come back to work. But it's like, this is the trick bag on it because it's like, yeah, but like, y'all motherfuckers got some PPP loans and y'all not kicking none of that shit down. You're not keeping none of that shit down. So you still want people to come back and work for $7.25 an hour or maybe $10 an hour, well, whatever it is. But go ahead, bro.
Let me just say,
you're the Popeye's economist.
In terms of the PPP, in order for your loan to be forgiven, you actually have to pay it out. There are caps on those salaries, though, and there are caps on what you can use that money for.
Okay.
So if a company did receive payment paycheck protection loan, they have to
Spend that
right, or if they don't spend it properly, then it is not forgiven and it does become a loan. Oh. And then you have to pay it back within a certain amount of time. Now, the terms of the loan are fairly reasonable. In a worst case scenario, you might be paying like, you know, 2.5, 2.75.
Yeah, you're not getting killed.
You're not gonna get killed with like a 9 or 10% interest rate, right? Mm-hmm. But they do have a very short term in terms of when you have to pay that money back, right? So it's not like you've got like 10 years to pay back this money. You gotta pay that shit back within about 24 months or something like that, if it is not forgiven. So yeah, I think that there's some bullshit to this. I think that this is, I think that companies are making it seem like this money is keeping people at home when in fact Uber has had issues in the past in regards to drivers and the fact that they've continuously not made them employees and instead made them independent contractors.
And
it is impacting them. I've also mentioned this before, and I don't know if you guys remember this, like in terms of what Uber costs, it just wasn't a financial model that seemed to have made sense. Like I shouldn't pay $7 to go as far as I'm going. Right. Like there's no taxi that would be able to justify that. Right. Like if I had legitimate all of this other shit that kind of comes with moving around. And so what Uber and Lyft did was that it really kind of got us into the, you know, what's a great example. You want to know how much it costs for you to move around. See what your ride is with the Uber Black.
Right.
Because that is usually the legitimate cost of your shit. And you go look at that Uber Black bill and that shit might be like $135 and you're going to end up paying like $66.
Yeah.
That should be $16. You know what I mean? Like some ridiculous shit. So that model just doesn't work. And I think that there are people that are staying home because it makes financial sense. Sure, I think that is. But I also think that consumption has kind of gotten to the point where we realize a lot of this shit we don't really need. Listen, do I think that that's going to change? Sure. I think that that will change as the moratoriums on evictions lift.
Yeah.
And that is going to be the breaking point. What is the breaking point? Because housing has always been the issue to make people work for the bare minimum.
Right.
Of course.
Right. And the moment that they were able to say, you literally can't put people out on the street, motherfuckers was like, I'm not doing it. I'm not taking this shit for this amount of money.
Yeah. I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. to go down to some, you know, diner or whatever and cook.
So you're going to have small and medium businesses either suffer.
They're suffering now.
Booze.
They're suffering now.
Or they're going to adapt. And they're going to have to adapt.
Yeah.
Look,
and I'm looking at places now.
If you look at the Chipotle thing, what they just came out with, they had a couple of locations where everybody quit. Niggas said no.
So,
and now they've raised. Yeah.
They've raised their bread.
And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that what a lot of these companies are hiding behind. They do not give scheduling in a way that is conducive for you to prepare, particularly if you have children, particularly as our elders are getting older and they're living with us more and more, making sure that they have coverage. You cannot just on a whim have a person working, you know, 3 to 8, you know, 4 days a week, 5 days a week, and then switch them from fucking 8 to 1 a.m. You know, and this is what they bank on, right? Like you don't really have much of a choice. So when you sign up for this job, these are the hours we get to kind of dictate.
Yeah.
We use words like, you know, workflow or as needed.
Or then even like cut your shift. Like you might be somebody who like you made your way there, you've got childcare, or there's something else you could have been doing instead, because so many of these people have to have 2 jobs and you got like an 8 to whatever shift and then it's light and they'll be like, all right, you go home. Like at 1. You know what I mean? Like it's just, and then that's your.
And that's the other dark secret too. Now is that it doesn't allow people who work multiple jobs to actually prepare. So on top of your child care and your elderly care, and just having a fucking second for yourself to breathe, right? Like we're not fucking designed, you know what I'm saying, to work you know, 16 hours a day and spend fucking 3 hours each day going to and from
commuting
places of employment 6 days a week. Like, that shit is just not, it's not a sustainable rate. And I think that what 2020 has done is it's really kind of showed us that, hey, man, a lot of the shit that we do is really indulgence, right? Like, it's really not really necessary. Like, malls have not changed their hours back, mind you. Just FYI. Yeah. Malls have gone from that 10 to like 9. Dude, that shit is like 11 to 7. So it's one shift now working at the mall.
Yeah. I even noticed it with the subways, right? So the subways are still closed, I think, 1 or 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. Now, I know there are some graveyard cats that, you know, were at the time before we're moving during those hours, but they still haven't opened that back up. And it's like, okay, like, all right, the subway's closed.
Necessary?
Yeah, exactly. Somebody's closed at 3 in the morning, bro. Like, what do you want? You know?
Now, here's where that balance comes in. Because guess who is necessary for? The motherfucking MTA. Okay? And when the union come knocking, because you definitely ain't giving them no pay cut, motherfucker, we will shut this motherfucker down. MTA got to be fucking top 5 unions. And they ain't 5.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they powerful.
It's like Teamsters, fucking NYPD, Patrolman's Union, and fucking
MTA. Yeah. Yeah. So it's very interesting. I mean, you know, and I'm no economist, but I'm looking at it like, okay, and this has been, you know, be coming up more and more. Like, there's going to have to be a push for a long time to try to somehow raise the minimum wage to a working wage, which I think is not, they're trying to push it to $15 or $15.25. I think it's something like that, an hour from the $7.25, which has been $7.25 for too many years while everything else is going up. And there's either they got to meet somewhere in the middle, or they got to push it up to that 15, because, you know, like you said, like, people are like, some people are making more money not going to work because you're making $7.25 an hour, you know, which is not a livable wage. So
just in theory, we have to acknowledge that this is a difference of $300. $300. If $300 a month, $3,600 a year is impacting your workforce in that sort of way,
something's wrong. Like,
something has to give.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I got into an argument with this guy, and this is a lot of people's argument, that's like, well, business owners, especially small business owners, they have to think about their overhead and they have to do this. And it's like, but you are not paying your workers enough to live, right? Like, what? Y'all are worried about your overhead, but it costs more money to have high turnover. It costs more money to recruit new people instead of having loyal.
Oh, see.
And also, like, what's your workers' incentive to do all this work if you don't even want to pay them fairly or give them enough hours to get benefits? Or, like, hiring more people and giving all those people less hours does not actually make sense. Like, I know you think it makes sense, but it doesn't.
They're absolutely comfortable with that high turnover. They see that as easy labor. It doesn't really matter to them.
I'll find
somebody else to do this shit, right? Mm-hmm. And right now they're having a more difficult time in finding that other person. But this also kind of goes back to my Uber point, which is, a lot of you niggas have gotten comfortable with going out to eat and check being $12.
True.
Okay. And when those margins, yes, and when those margins are thin, because they are thin in the restaurant business, outside of very few places that have really, really high profit margins, restaurants are notoriously thin on the margins, right? They do well in the assembly line sort of volume business. Right. And that's what you're going to see. You're going to see now that, if there are going to be some costs that's going to be passed on to you. Like, there ain't no way around that shit, my nigga. Like, you definitely not getting no burger for no motherfucking $4 no more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that shit just ain't going to happen.
It ain't happen. Yeah. 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 This is a very interesting thing I'm going to keep an eye on, because like Sean said, something's got to give, you know? I just wanted to mention real quick, the Tiger, there's a loose Tiger in Houston. walking around a neighborhood.
Is turning into is Florida, still by the way.
They ain't caught him yet.
No, they ain't get the tiger, but they got the
guy. I thought they got both of them.
Did they get the tiger?
And the murderer.
Yeah. Unless I looked, they said they had no information on the tiger's whereabouts. But the murderer, but the guy who owned the tiger was a murder suspect. And they found his ass. He had put the tiger in a van and drove away for a while, but they found his ass. And it's like a neighborhood. It's like, this ain't like way out in the middle of Texas. Like, nigga, it probably was like a fucking, you know, a McDonald's around the corner. It was like a neighborhood. And this guy was filming. There's a tiger just wandering in front of the dude's house, like on the lawn. It was.
That tiger probably confused as hell.
Yeah, like, what the hell am I doing here? And they said this murderer guy, Victor Cuevos is his name. He's known to have a lot of exotic animals around the neighborhood. So I guess there were a lot of complaints about him before this tiger shit, which is probably why they were filming, because, you know, they was hearing tiger noises and shit. So, yeah, I don't know, man. God bless, man.
Who the tiger man? Like, like, is that like the same as like the nigga with the dog hookup? Like, do you go to that? Like, he come in the barber shop. Is it the tiger nigga come in the barber? Yo, nigga, I got this.
You know what I'm saying? I got tigers for you. I got tigers.
Well, there's a whole, I mean, like we saw in Tiger King, there is a whole kind of a subworld of those people where you can't.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is,
well, who is that nigga though? Where you meet him?
Yeah, but I'm saying those niggas are all in that world, right? Like, like, how does a stranger get to be crack a that tiger?
Go on Reddit, I'm sure.
Yeah,
you're on Reddit.
Everything's on the internet somewhere.
Everything's on Reddit.
Right. Somebody will connect.
I'm definitely not putting that shit in my search engine. Them niggas got me knocking on my
door. Word.
Absolutely not.
This nigga trying to buy a Bengal tiger to live out in Jersey.
They take PayPal. Y'all niggas don't take no Zelle.
You don't need no Cash App? I wanted to end up talking about, what was the last topic? It was a good topic, shit. Oh, Portia Williams, goddammit. Portia Williams has set the world on fire. It's a fire. Did y'all see the latest about the new, there's another girl? That
I'm not surprised.
There's another girl named Jessica Summers. She was on Baller Alert. She did the whole thing where she said she met Simon on March 30th.
The white girl?
She's light-skinned. She's real high yellow.
Oh, well, then this is another girl.
This girl's not white. She's really high yellow.
Before you go, did I not put that in the chat?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Carry on, sir. Carry on.
There's a high yellow... Jessica, I forget her name. It doesn't matter. She says she met Simon... there's a place in Atlanta called Red Martini. I don't think I've been there, but I've heard of it. It's a real popular kind of loungy spot. And he was in there and, you know, he had a section and he invited them over. And, you know, she's a pretty girl and her and her friend. And they were talking and da-da-da-da. And Simon locked in on her and she said that Simon, they talked so long that Red Martini actually closed down and let them stay an extra hour because that's how much they was talking. And then they went from there to the crib. Simon stayed at the crib for 2 more hours complaining about how, and I was like, I know he told Portia the same shit, how he don't love his wife is a narcissist, he's so depressed, he sleeps in a pool house because he's not, you know, not happy, he's so happy to meet her, she's such a nice girl and fun, and, you know, they have so much fun together, and then he picked her up the next day, and they rode around in his Ferrari, and he was taking all these pictures of her, and he's like, really, like, yo, I really like you, and blah, 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 and he was going, oh, this, she said it went all the way up to Mother's Day, Sunday, and she was like, she saw the nigga on the gram, was like, yo, what's good, nigga,
Portia,
what you doing here? And he's like, oh, yeah, happy Mother's Day, because this girl has a child, too. Happy Mother's Day to you. And she was like, yo, I thought that, you know. And she, so Simon had to be running a lot of game on a lot of people, but Portia's caught Simon's all the way
out
up.
Here.
Simon's out here. What you think, Inka? What you think?
God bless. I'm 80% sure that Portia is in her second trimester. And that's what this whole spin is.
Because she walk around dressed like Miss Roper.
So we know, and peace to the Gem Bunny on Twitter, that Portia is the body con Don, right? She is allergic to loose fabric. So definitely. To see her making this announcement with these two men on Instagram, and she got a fucking floor-length muumuu on.
Never wears that.
Never in a million years would she be photographed in a dress like that. Even when she was pregnant, she was a body condom. So
absolutely.
She is absolutely holding. And God bless co-parenting with 10 kids at this point. That is, God bless. I don't know.
Oh my God. What's your thing about this fiasco?
Portia. I want Portia to have listen. If Portia's happy, whatever, I don't give a fuck. But she has a propensity for
fuck niggas.
Getting involved in entanglements with niggas who move around a lot. You know what I mean?
She has a type.
Mm-hmm. I want better for her, right? Like, just once, I would like her to be able to...
But can you want better for somebody who don't really want better?
You're right.
Portia's desire is to be kept by any means necessary. Yeah. And but I think she goes after that kind
of guy. But my thing is, like, map don't be mapping. A nigga who... Because all of these niggas, you know, they saying the same shit to every broad. She just happens to be the one
who gets pregnant.
No, she happens to be the one that gets pregnant because that's what happened last time. Mm. She wouldn't have been with that nigga that long if it hadn't been a baby on the way.
True.
And I feel like that's what happened this time. But each one of these motherfuckers got a MO, you know? And I kind of hate that for her. She's a beautiful girl. But this goes to show when ladies who are listening and niggas, no matter how much motherfuckers talk about how bad this one is, how fine that one is, you see how gorgeous Portia is. Fuck
gorgeous.
It at all times. Ain't one relationship we know that she's been in that ain't been some fuck shit. Or Miss Diane, clearly, since Miss Diane is just out here single. So,
I saw a picture of Miss Diane Mann. Oh, I'm still with him. But they did that little Christmas
she thing. She got a little gentleman friend?
Yeah, she did Christmas. They did a little pajama picture together. Matching PJs. The flannel PJs. Yeah. But I mean, that nigga could be gone now. That was Christmas.
I don't know. I'm just tickled by the whole shit. I am very entertained. Twitter was on fire with the jokes yesterday.
No, they had, like,
I was excited.
I mean, I don't even watch the shit no more. I think I hadn't watched the show. I think people were doing, there were a lot of people doing a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot. Yeah. It was like, you know, that was her friend. And bitches, if you came to my house, like, hey, I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret. Okay. A lot of people you know will try to fuck your mate. Okay, I don't know if you think that that's not really gonna, like, people use the word friend so loosely now.
Loose.
That it is very difficult for me to wrap my head around it because, like, that's not your man's like that.
Yeah.
Because somebody was like, oh, he knows Dennis. Like, yeah, okay, nigga. And fuck.
Everybody,
literally,
you know what?
What the fuck? You don't think niggas knew who Rick Box was when they would try to holler at Vanessa Williams? You don't think there was a nigga in Shawnee O'Neal's air?
But like we said this before, people really mistake y'all niggas will speak to each other out in public or y'all got caught in a photo together with wire image as like y'all niggas
were
hanging out at each other's houses and shit. It's not that.
Nigga, that's not your man's like that.
Yeah, and if you get the lane, he's gonna take it.
People are confused because she brought Fallon on the show. I think, like, she came in as attached to Portia.
But this is a part of when people want to believe the things that they want to believe. Mm. Because by and large, people have said and they've spotted. People have routinely talked about Kenya and her relationships being egged on by producers that none of that shit was real. Now, all of a sudden, Portia has this friendship, and we gonna make them seem like they've been sandboxing together since they've been 8, okay? Like, people interacting, at first of all, those circles in that world is very, very small. That's a very particular Atlanta circle, okay?
Very incestuous. It's not cute at all.
Guess what? Most are. Nothing is happening in Atlanta that is not happening in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Nothing that is happening there is not happening in fucking Boca Raton, Florida, and those gated communities down there. Okay? They that's just what it is, because they are of the same circles and they are in the same spaces. Okay.
That's
and
not all, you, that's all you're going to meet.
I've been seeing, because I do lunch at Neiman's and I see her all the time. Yeah. And we speak. And, oh, she lived 10 minutes down the road. We do a play date with the kids. Yeah. And the next thing you know, motherfuckers treating it like y'all been friends since fucking, you know, sixth grade. Like, nah. It ain't really like that.
I said Boca Raton.
Niggas, I'm still trying to figure out the plug. My theory, just talking shit. My theory is the plug, I believe, was Shamia. Because Shamia and Portia, they actually did grow up together. And they are, I don't know if they're as close as they were, but they were very tight. And Shamia married the African. Simon's the African. And I think it was like, through Shamia's husband, it probably swung through that way.
He could
be Ghanaian, he could be Nigerian. But in Atlanta, it is a tight African community.
Okay, that's fair. Let me just say too, like, whether or not this is a real relationship is really beyond me. It's of no consequence to me. But I was really trying to point out that aside from it being Portia, like this whole, like, well, he look for all intents and purposes, right? Like this marriage is clearly over.
Yeah.
Right. Like they're clearly moving on. And if we want to be on the internet and we want to make jokes, that's one thing. But like, I'm like, we can take it easy with the technicalities, right? Like we could take it easy with trying to backdate. She said,
well, the backdate is going to still happen.
Listen, man, it is what it is.
She was trying to do that because her shit with Dennis was so messy. I think that's not even a show thing. That's a save.
I was gonna say that's a personal thing, because she knows that okay, this kind of looks this way. Listen, contrary to popular belief, people do give a fuck what other people say about them. Like that's another misconception. Okay. People are worried about that. She is a famous person, she does have a legitimate gig that is puts her into into the limelight, right? Like people are in her shit. So she needs to be able to answer those questions. She's going to be questioned. There's no way around that.
The interesting thing is, if she is indeed pregnant, as we suspect she is, then her dates just fly out the window.
I think we want to do the backdating because I want to know the level of disrespect.
Yeah.
Were you already fucking him when you brought Fallon on the show? Is the ass whooping going to be over a man, or is it going to be over the principal?
I think it's going to be over a man.
Did you have anybody, this bitch up in my
face?
I don't believe anybody's
going to whoop Porsche's ass pregnant or not. So
I mean, that's legit.
I think that they was fucking... Well before January. I think it was fucking since last year. And, you know, again, like Russ said, it is what it is. But I think they've been fucking for a hot minute.
I also think that even if they were, again, I'm just like, what was she supposed to do? Like how was that supposed to play out? Like, what I'm saying is, I gotta stop you, bro.
Because... I've been following on the show on the gram, but like it was recently, when was it again, March or something, that Simon posted something on Instagram basically saying, like, you know, I love my wife and, you know, I'm trying to work it out and blah, 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 blah. And then, like, boom, then a couple days later, it was like, nigga, like, so what she, Portia says they broke up in January, but this nigga Simon writing shit on the gram in March saying, this is my soulmate. And here we are in May, and he engaged to Portia. it's just a fucking mess.
It's a mess. If someone told you to write this, you couldn't write this shit.
Nobody believed it.
So everyone's going to sit there. We're going to watch this play out. My point is, clearly, dude is like, this is what he does, right? He's in love right now.
Right now.
They're together right now.
Today.
That might change in the next 8-9 months. That might change in the next 8-9 weeks. We don't know. We don't know. Because according to the story, 30 days ago they didn't know each other.
Yeah.
Right? Like so I'm just saying, we ask these people to put their lives on Front Street. This whole shit is driven with salaciousness. She has given you all of the salaciousness, my nigga. Like, did you, again, you couldn't, if this was a Dynasty storyline, you turn this shit off.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I'm thankful. I'm having a great time.
And it just keeps unraveling, but just keeps unfolding more and more shit. So, you know, peace to all of them. And next season of Real Housewives of Atlanta, ratings are going to be through the roof.
Do we think Fallon gets a peach?
God, I don't know if she gets a peach, but she's got to be on the show.
I think she'll be on the show.
Yeah. I don't know about a full peach because she
That's going to be, that depends. That depends.
On what?
Well, you know, Andy on the fact that genius,
and again, I'm not saying this as someone that knows any information in regard to how they work over there, but I'm just saying as a person who has dealt with managing personalities and managing people, okay, the last thing you definitely want to do is have a potentially pregnant or new mom up in arms. That is also the star of your show, right? Like, so you really have to balance that shit. You're going to have to walk a tightrope because if she's driving the ship, my nigga, and ain't nobody else bringing it,
you gotta
be very, very mindful about what you do and how you do it. And listen, we know this with artists. Yo, don't bring so and so to the, take them to the studio down the street. Don't bring them to this.
Whole day of work shut down.
Shut down. Ain't nobody getting nothing done. Two studios locked out for 12 hours and we came out with nothing.
Tough craft services ain't going home. So, yeah, we're going to keep an eye on this one. Before we wrap up, I just wanted to say love to my son Julian and his new bride, Amanda. The Sledges. It was so bugged. I was another bugged. I was like, almost.
I have a daughter-in-law.
Yeah, but it was some out-of-body-ish experiences to me. One of them was when they would be like, and everybody, the first dance with the Sledges. And I'm like, oh, they ain't talking about me. You know what I'm saying? they're the Sledges now. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Like,
the wedding was not about me, all right?
Yeah, exactly. That shit ain't about me. This is some bullshit. Nah. But it was a nice
That suit was clean. You had your good owner. You
look very nice.
Yeah, I threw my Barack Obama tan suit on.
That's hilarious.
You know,
so Jeff, is this the first time that you've been with Julian? Period, in a capacity like okay. So for example, my mom has been with me before. Where I mean, we have different last names, but where she's heard me referred to as Mrs. Cochran, addressed as Mrs. Cochran. Mm. Is this the first time you've even really been with Julian, and it's been a Mr. Sledge? Julian is Mr. Sledge. Because that might have been part of it too.
Yeah, because you know he's just Julian. You know, so like to hear him call him Mr. Sledge or like the Sledges or the you know the new couple the Sledges. It was just kind of like, oh damn, this is crazy. Like they talking about him. You know what I'm saying? Like I still like I said last week. Like in my mind, he's always gonna be like a little kid, even though he's obviously not. You know what I'm saying? And I understand he's not, but it's just something in your brain with a child that you have to kind of like force yourself to not realize that they're not. You know, a little five-year-old kid anymore. You know what I'm saying? So, like, to hear them say the Sledges and do the first dance, it was just kind of like, wow, that's crazy. But it was a good day. It was a fun day. Everybody had a good time. Wedding was, you know, started on time, went off without a hitch. Out in Brooklyn, it was a nice day. I enjoyed it immensely. So there you go. My son's married. He's really on his own now. You're on your own, boy.
Is when he needs you more than ever.
No, you're right. Yeah, he does.
Hey, before we wrap too, I want to give a shout to my sister. My sister Didi, her birthday was on the 10th, and my other sister from South Carolina, drove up. We did a little party for her. So peace to her. She literally, we never had birthday party for her.
That's great.
And like it was crazy because I thought about my other sisters, like growing up, like we literally never had birthday parties.
Wow.
Like it wasn't like a conscious thing. Like we don't celebrate birthdays.
Yeah, you wasn't the whole witness or nothing. Yeah.
It wasn't nothing like that. And I mean, we would celebrate, like, especially like I remember years, like my mom would like, she'll bake a cake or some shit like that. But we never had like birthday celebrations.
Like people coming over.
People coming. Like and it was never, literally never that. Yeah. So it was really, really good. And she hadn't seen my sister pretty much since this is my mom passed. Like they hadn't seen each other. So it was, it was really good. And I was glad she was able to come over and I was able to facilitate. So
yeah, it sounded like a good time. You said, you know, talking shit.
Oh yeah, we was talking shit. Them niggas drinking tequila like it wasn't nobody's business.
Yeah,
eating cake, fried chicken, mac and cheese.
As you should. It sounded like a good time. Yeah, so we're gonna wrap it up on that note.
I got one shout out.
Oh, please.
My baby girl turns 4 next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm very excited.
Nice. You got any plans yet or you don't know?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Maryland for the week. We're going to have a little family birthday party, do some cupcakes with her other cousins that were all born within 3 months of her.
Oh, shit.
Like a boom in our family. So everybody's coming. So I'm excited.
That's dope. That sounds like a lot of fun. And bring me back some Old Bay sauce or something. some crab chips.
4 years? Have y'all? I feel like we've been rocking for like 4 years.
Yeah, time do be flying, man. You be flying. You're gonna look up, and I'm gonna be walking down graduating high school.
I can't handle it. We start preschool in a couple of weeks, and I cannot.
You ain't ready for that yet, so, right? Yeah.
Nah, she can't be a bride yet.
So. Exactly. No. We got time for that. Yeah, so we're gonna wrap it up on that note. Everybody, stay safe out there. If you ain't get your vaccines, get your vaccines. Portia, God bless you. Simon, nigga, what is you doing? You're too old for this shit, Simon. Simon sniffing 60. What are you doing, nigga? But anyway, on that note, we'll see y'all next week.
Later.
Bye.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got 3 ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook, send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.